This is the reading for September 30th. Jeremiah chapter 41. In the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and 10 of his men came to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah. Nethaniah was the son of Elishama. Now Ishmael was a member of the king's family and had been one of the officers of the king of Judah. While they were eating a meal with Gedaliah at Mizpah, Ishmael and his 10 men got up and killed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with a sword. Gedaliah was the man the king of Babylon had chosen as governor over Judah. Ishmael also killed all the Jews and the Babylonian soldiers who were there with Gedaliah at Mizpah. The day after Gedaliah was murdered, before anyone knew about it, 80 men came to Mizpah bringing grain offerings and incense to the temple of the Lord. Those men from Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria had shaved off their beards, torn their clothes, and cut themselves. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them, crying as he walked. When he met them, he said, "Come with me to meet Gedaliah, son of Ahikam." So they went into Mizpah. Then Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and his men killed 70 of them and threw the bodies into a deep well. But the 10 men who were left alive said to Ishmael, "Don't kill us. We have wheat and barley and oil and honey that we have hidden in a field." So Ishmael let them live and did not kill them with the others. Now the well where he had thrown all the bodies had been made by King Asa as a part of his defenses against Baasha, king of Israel. But Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, put dead bodies in it until it was full. Ishmael captured all the other people in Mizpah, the king's daughters and all the other people who were left there. They were the ones whom Nebuzaradan, commander of the guard, had chosen Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, to take care of. So Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, captured those people, and he started to cross over to the country of the Ammonites. Johanan, son of Kareah, and all his army officers with him heard about all the evil things Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had done. So they took their men and went to fight Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and caught him near the big pool of water at Gibeon. When the captives Ishmael had taken saw Johanan and the army officers, they were glad. So all the people Ishmael had taken captive from Mizpah turned around and ran to Johanan, son of Kareah. But Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and 8 of his men escaped from Johanan and ran away to the Ammonites. So Johanan, son of Kareah, and all his army officers saved the captives that Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had taken from Mizpah after he murdered Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. Among those left alive were soldiers, women, children, and palace officers. And Johanan brought them back from the town of Gibeon. Johanan and the other army officers were afraid of the Babylonians. Since the king of Babylon had chosen Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, to be governor of Judah, but Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had murdered him, Johanan was afraid that the Babylonians would be angry. So they decided to run away to Egypt. On the way, they stayed at Geruth Kimham near the town of Bethlehem. Jeremiah chapter 42. While there, Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, went to Jeremiah the prophet. All the army officers and all the people, from the least important to the greatest, went along too. They said to him, "Jeremiah, please listen to what we ask. Pray to the Lord your God for all the people left alive from the family of Judah. At one time there were many of us, but you can see that there are few of us now. So pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do." Then Jeremiah the prophet answered, "I understand what you want me to do. I will pray to the Lord your God as you have asked. I will tell you everything he says and not hide anything from you." Then the people said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and loyal witness against us if we don't do everything the Lord your God sends you to tell us. It does not matter if we like the message or not. We will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you. We will obey what he says, so good things will happen to us." 10 days later, the Lord spoke his word to Jeremiah. Then Jeremiah called for Johanan, son of Kareah, the army officers with him, and all the other people, from the least important to the greatest. Jeremiah said to them, "You sent me to ask the Lord for what you wanted. This is what the God of Israel says. If you will stay in Judah, I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not pull you up, because I am sad about the disaster I brought on you. Now you fear the king of Babylon, but don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of him, says the Lord, because I am with you. I will save you and rescue you from his power. I will be kind to you, and he will also treat you with mercy and let you stay in your land. But if you say, we will not stay in Judah, you will disobey the Lord your God. Or you might say, no, we will go and live in Egypt. There we will not see war or hear the trumpets of war or be hungry. If you say that, listen to the message of the Lord, you who are left alive from Judah. This is what the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says. If you make up your mind to go and live in Egypt, these things will happen. You are afraid of war, but it will find you in the land of Egypt. And you are worried about hunger, but it will follow you into Egypt, and you will die there. Everyone who goes to live in Egypt will die in war or from hunger or terrible disease. No one who goes to Egypt will live. No one will escape the terrible things I will bring to them. This is what the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says. I showed my anger against the people of Jerusalem. In the same way, I will show my anger against you when you go to Egypt. Other nations will speak evil of you. People will be shocked by what will happen to you. You will become a cursed word, and people will insult you, and you will never see Judah again. You who are left alive in Judah, the Lord has told you, don't go to Egypt. Be sure you understand this. I warn you today that you are making a mistake that will cause your deaths. You sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray to the Lord our God for us. Tell us everything the Lord our God says, and we will do it. So today I have told you, but you have not obeyed the Lord your God in all that he sent me to tell you. So now be sure you understand this. You want to go to live in Egypt, but you will die there by war, hunger, or terrible diseases.
Chapter 9.
As a Christian, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. The Holy Spirit, along with my own thoughts, supports me in this. I have deep sorrow and endless heartache. I wish I could be condemned and cut off from Christ for the sake of others who, like me, are Jewish by birth. They are Israelites, God's adopted children. They have the Lord's glory, the pledges, Moses' teachings, the true worship, and the promises. The Messiah is descended from their ancestors according to his human nature. The Messiah is God over everything, forever blessed. Amen. Now, it is not as though God's word has failed. Clearly, not everyone descended from Israel is part of Israel or a descendant of Abraham. However, as Scripture says, through Isaac your descendants will carry on your name. This means that children born by natural descent from Abraham are not necessarily God's children. Instead, children born by the promise are considered Abraham's descendants. For example, this is what the promise said, I will come back at the right time and Sarah will have a son. The same thing happened to Rebekah. Rebekah became pregnant by our ancestor Isaac. Before the children had been born or had done anything good or bad, Rebekah was told that the older child would serve the younger one. This was said to Rebekah so that God's plan would remain a matter of his choice, a choice based on God's call and not on anything people do. The scripture says, I loved Jacob, but I hated Esau. What can we say? That God is unfair? That's unthinkable. For example, God said to Moses, I will be kind to anyone I want to. I will be merciful to anyone I want to. Therefore, God's choice does not depend on a person's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For example, Scripture says to Pharaoh, I put you here for this reason, to demonstrate my power through you and to spread my name throughout the earth. Therefore, if God wants to be kind to anyone, he will be. If he wants to make someone stubborn, he will. You may ask me, why does God still find fault with anyone? Who can resist whatever God wants to do? Who do you think you are to talk back to God like that? Can an object that was made say to its maker, why did you make me like this? A potter has the right to do whatever he wants with his clay. He can make something for a special occasion or something for everyday use from the same lump of clay. If God wants to demonstrate his anger and reveal his power, he can do it. But can't he be extremely patient with people who are objects of his anger because they're headed for destruction? Can't God also reveal the riches of his glory to people who are objects of his mercy and who he had already prepared for glory? This is what God did for us, whom he called, whether we are Jews or not. As God says in Hosea, "Those who are not my people, I will call my people. Those who are not loved, I will call my loved ones. Wherever they were told, 'You are not my people,' they will be called children of the living God." Isaiah also says about Israel, "Although the descendants of Israel are as numerous as the grains of sand on the seashore, only a few will be saved." The Lord will carry out his sentence on the land completely and decisively. This is what Isaiah predicted. If the Lord of armies hadn't left us some descendants, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. So what can we say? We can say that non-Jewish people who are not trying to gain God's approval won his approval, and approval based on faith. The people of Israel tried to gain God's approval by obeying Moses' teachings, but they did not reach their goal. Why? They didn't rely on faith to gain God's approval, but they relied on their own efforts. They stumbled over the rock that trips people. As Scripture says, "I am placing a rock in Zion that people trip over, a large rock that people find offensive. Whoever believes in him will not be ashamed."